This gathering is for the sake of love, to enable love to do its work, to enable love to happen. Because Sufis are lovers from the beginning of time that have always been lovers of God. Those whose hearts belong to God, who are here for the sake of love, to do the work of love, so that love can unfold its purpose. And in love, there is only oneness. That is the nature of love. If you love, there is no you, there is just love. You see, friends, this is not a conference. This is a Sufi gathering. This is a gathering of hearts, of lovers of God coming together. This is very important to realize. A certain energy is being given to this gathering for the sake of love. We are not here to learn anything. We are here to be used by love, as Sufis have always been used by love over the millennia, since long, long before they were known as Sufis. Love works in the most mysterious ways. Love takes upon it the form and the shape according to the time and the place and the people. And then it works, and it works most directly through the hearts of lovers of God. He loves them and they love him. There is nothing simpler, there is nothing more profound, there is nothing more exact, and there is nothing more powerful, because love is the most powerful force in creation. And when the love of God is alive within the heart of the human being, then God is present. And the names of God in the hearts of that human being become alive and speak their secret message to humanity, revealing the deeper purpose of humanity, why we are here, the work that we have to do, the purpose of creation, the magic and the mystery of life, and the joy of being alive for the sake of love and for the sake of the beloved. So remember that always, but especially while we are together. We are here for the sake of love, for the sake of his love for us and our love for him. This is the closed circle of love in which lover and beloved come together. And Sufis have always known this secret, this primal mystery of the universe, the oneness of lover and beloved. I am he whom I love, he whom I love is me. Love has so much magic to come alive, to make magic happen. So the mystery of the human being can become more visible, can become more tangible, because as a culture, we have forgotten the mystery of being a human being. We have forgotten the mystery of revelation. We have even forgotten that we are here to love him and to allow his love for us to fulfill us. Everything in the universe is alive with love, and Sufis have always known this, and they have worked with this. In many different ways, they have woven a tapestry of love for humanity. Each Sufi path is a ray of love. It has a different color, it has a different musical note, and different souls are attracted to different Sufi paths because they are in tune with that ray of love. That ray of love resonates with their soul, with their heart, with their purpose here in this world. And each Sufi path brings alive this note of love, this quality of love, this way of being in love. And the practices of the path have developed over centuries to help the devotee, to help the dervish, to help the lover become aligned with love, to help their whole being to become filled with love. And so we are bringing together here many different Sufi paths in the oneness of love. Each path a different ray of love. Each path a different way of working with love, of making love come alive, of transforming the human being through love, and transforming not just the human being, but the environment in which the human being lives, come alive with love. Not the love that wants something, not the love that is grasping, but the pure love that has always been the essence of every Sufi path. The love that is free, the love that is priceless, the love that cannot be conditioned, of which there is no buying and selling ever. It is like the sunlight. It is free. It is so dynamic. It is so pure. And it has this wonderful quality of taking on different forms. Whether through music or through dance, the love comes alive. Whether in silence or during the zikr, the love comes alive. Each different facet of love, each different quality of love, each way of working with love. And we are here to celebrate all these ways of working with love, so that the circle of love can be seen, can be made visible, can be made tangible for those for whom it is just a mystery, just something they dream about, just stories they have heard. And if we live it for his sake, for the sake of our beloved, for the sake of the one to whom we belong, then the love can become more real, can become more visible. And with that love becoming more visible, then the names of God become more visible. Then the purpose that is stamped into the soul of each human being becomes more visible. So we can read more clearly our own destiny as it is written in the book of life that is around us and the book of life that is within our own heart. So we can live our own unique individual belonging to God and come to know why we are here at this moment in time, at this place. So we are here together for the sake of love. It is so simple, it is so profound, it is so elemental and so easily forgotten. But the Sufis for centuries have kept this mystery of humanity. Whether in small groups scattered in the Middle East or in India or in Turkey, they have kept alive the secret of love. They have kept this secret for humanity. And humanity is starving for the deeper meaning of love, for the real purpose of love. Love is so dynamic, it is so powerful, it can pierce through the veils of illusion and awake us to whom we are. And it needs to be given to humanity, no longer just to these secret cells of dervishes, to these mystics hidden throughout the world. It needs to be made visible. It needs to be given back to humanity, this quality of divine love. We need to share it, just as we are going to do this weekend, to share the mysteries of love, the way Sufis have worked with love over the centuries. Each path being a note in the symphony of love. And so different practices will be shared. And you'll be all have the opportunity to experience them, to join in this coming together in love. And what matters is how we all participate. Because in this circle of oneness, there is really no speaker and no listener. I am listening to your hearts are speaking to me. You are listening to my words. It is oneness, it is the oneness of love. And if your hearts awaken, and my heart awakens, and all our hearts awaken, then the note of love can resonate through all of our hearts, and that is why we are here. Because when Sufis come together for his sake, for the sake of love, then a mystery is made tangible, because the hearts of his lovers are used for the sake of that mystery. So the note of love can be more audible, can become clearer, can break through the veils of illusion and help us to see what is written in the book of life. Because we are not here for ourselves. We never were here for ourselves. This is one of the great mistakes that has evolved in the last few centuries. We are not even here for our own development. We're here for the sake of something so much greater. And Sufis have always known this. And they have kept it hidden in their own hearts, hardly daring it to share in the marketplace, lest they get persecuted. They know the burning of their own hearts. They know the name that is written with fire in their own hearts. And there is a hunger for this. There is a need for this. There is a craving for this. And just as each path has its own practices, it also, when you come to a Sufi path, there is the attitude. What Sufis call adab, behavior, the right attitude. And when you come to a Sufi gathering for the first time, you listen, you look, you see what is the attitude for the path, the inner attitude. It is rarely told, but you learn to listen, to be attentive. And you learn these different Sufi qualities, whether it is patience or humility or putting others before yourself or respecting the traditions of others. There are these many different qualities for the path, just as there are the practices that you do, whether it is a zikr or a silent meditation, or dance, or music, all these practices that over the centuries have been perfected to bring something alive within the human being. They are combined with the inner attitude of the practitioner, of the lover. And they have to go together, the outer action, the inner attitude. And here, there are going to be different practices, whether it is Sufi healing, or listening to dreams. But in order for it to become alive, in order for the stamp of the path to be made visible, you need to listen with the right attitude, the right way of being, the right inner attention. You need to become attuned to the ways of love. Because that is what Sufism is about, learning to become attuned to the ways of love. It is said that the whole of the Sufi path is about learning to be a Sufi. And a Sufi is one who swims in the sea of divine unity. So we don't come here to learn something. Please put away your notebooks. We come here to be attuned to love. We come here to learn to listen to love, to resonate with love. We come here to respect the many different paths that are here, these different rays of love that make up the rainbow of love. We come here to step back from our own needs, to put something else first. Not to get something, but to give something. To respect something. And if you allow that to happen, then something can be given. Because one of the mysteries of the path is the beloved. Because for Sufis, God is always the beloved. Is longing to love us. Is longing to reveal to us the secrets of love. But we always get in the way and do our thing, so he can't do his thing. and we don't even know it. And we are so busy with our own lives and our own progress, whether material progress or spiritual progress, we forget that it's not about that at all. And we run chasing our own shadows year after year, missing the primal mystery of a human being, that we are here for his sake, that it was never about us. And love has the potential to awaken us to that. And the Beloved is longing to reveal to us the secrets of his love for us. He has taken so much care in creating this extraordinary world, in spinning every cell of creation with the energy of love, in writing his name so carefully on every atom of creation. There is so much care and tenderness in this whole unfolding, if we just allow it to speak to us, allow it to tell us, to reveal to us what it is all about, or a little bit of what it is all about, even if just for a moment. His love for us is so powerful. And yet at the same time, he always respects the will of the human being to say, no, thank you. To say, I am more interested in myself at the moment, even my own spiritual development. So please, for this weekend, put aside all your desires, especially your spiritual desires. Allow love to do its work. Because a special energy has been constellated for this gathering, which is the energy of divine oneness, which is a very particular frequency of love. Since the beginning of time, Sufis have known this secret of oneness. This is what is stamped deep within the heart of all of us. The oneness of his love for us, the oneness of the Creator and his creation. And for the Sufi, this is, of course, the oneness of lover and beloved, because this is how we experience it. When he merges into our heart and reveals to us this ancient, ancient secret that is always alive, that is at the root of the root of the root of everything that is. The oneness of God and his creation, the oneness of lover and beloved. Sufis are known as the people of the secret because they keep the secret. The great mystic Al-Halaj was crucified for revealing this secret, for saying, An al-Haq, I am the truth. And other Sufis at the time said, you should have kept this a secret. Because you made it public, you were forced to pay the price, the ultimate price. But Al-Halaj didn't care because his mission was to make public the secret of divine oneness. But then it became forgotten again. But it is always there under the surface. And at different times, like the tide brings a piece of driftwood to the shore, the tides of love push part of the secrets to the shore of collective consciousness. And one of the great secrets of love is oneness. In this oneness, everything is given because everything belongs to God. In this oneness, everything that is needed is present because that is the nature of oneness. So if we can step outside the circle of our own self and into this greater circle of his love for us, and learn to listen, to be attentive to what love has to say, to what love has to share with us. In all of the different ways that love comes into the world, in all of the different Sufi traditions that have woven the texture of love into the world, to help us to read the book of love, which is a very, very different book of life to what is in your morning newspaper, to what is on the television, to what is in the radio. This is the book of the secrets of creation. What the Sufis call the mystery of the word kun, be. In it is woven our real purpose, why we are here. And love helps us to live this purpose. And this energy of divine oneness is being given to us. It is being offered to us. And we can turn our backs on it and continue with our daily business. Or we can open our hearts and say, yes, beloved, I am here for your sake. Do with me as thou wilt. Use me as you know how to use me. Because my heart belongs to you. And then something that has long been hidden can become visible, not just to us, not just to those of us who are here, but like a ripple that goes out across a pond, it can touch others, because that is one of the greater mysteries of love, how love resonates from heart to heart. And this is also how Sufis have always worked with love in the world. Silently, invisibly, the rays of love go out and touch others, and help other hearts to become alive. Without proselytizing, without telling anybody they ought to be like this or they ought to be like that, because Sufism is about freedom. Nobody has to be anything. We all are individually a unique creation of the one great artist. And yet we have come together for the purpose of oneness. So while we are here together, allow something to work through you. Allow something to come alive within you. And have fun. Don't take it too seriously. Somehow as a culture we are so serious about our spiritual practice. And so we become kind of boring. You know? It's like a bit sour. Sufis always laugh and tell stories and jokes and eat together and love God together and dream together and are lost in God. Alone and together. So be together as Sufis have always been together over the centuries. With a bit of mischief. My teacher, she said, you know, spiritual things can sometimes get a bit boring. One needs to have some chocolate or a little bit of sin. Well, not too much sin here, please, but... You know, each time a human heart looks towards God, a ray of light is given to humanity to help humanity see the way. This is something very simple and highly esoteric. Each time a human heart looks towards God, a ray of light is given to humanity to help humanity find the way. And when hearts come together and look towards him together, then the heavens are allowed to open, and doorways that are otherwise kept closed draw back, and a pathway that was not there before is shown more clearly than at other times. And that pathway remains imprinted into the ether of the world, so that even when we are no longer here, it is visible for those who look to find their way. Those are the footsteps of the lovers of God, which are alive in the world. And those who are drawn towards love find those footsteps and find those beacons of love that take each of us where we need to go. And one thing, friends, because this is a spiritual gathering, please at no time any clapping. Because when we are together like this, a certain structure is created on the inner plane. It is very beautiful. It is very full of light. It has already been created for this conference over the last few months. And when hearts are together, it becomes almost visible on the physical plane. And when people clap, they destroy the structure made of light. So I am infinitely glad that you have all come, that we are all here together. And now Andrew is going to inspire us, as he always does. And then after, when he has finished, we will have a meditation together.
I feel very humbled and very honored to be here, because I know that what is going to happen in these next days that we spend together is something extraordinarily beautiful and powerful. So much love and so much dedication and so much passion and so much work has gone on every level into creating this event that I know that many, many, many hearts here will open in the flames of what is already here. And to fan those flames, I would like to invoke now the spirit of that being that every Sufi loves, and in fact now every seeker on every path loves, and I'm talking, of course, about Jalaluddin Rumi, who has been my great heart friend on the path. If you were to put together and fuse at diamond heat the philosophical passion of Plato, force and the soul force and moral and mystical grandeur of Christ, and the extravagant and exuberant literary gifts of Shakespeare, you would get that sublime human divine rose that we call Rumi, who is now inebriating the world with the perfume of his ecstasy and his joy. And in the name of that ecstasy and that joy that are the marks of all real seekers, and especially in my experience of all real Sufis, who are among the truly craziest of all seekers, I would like to read you a few of the glories of Rumi. I wrote a prayer for us to invoking him, and I'd just like to read it in dedication to all of you. And I'd like to just say that the way in which you listen, the way in which you open your heart, is absolutely crucial to what is born here. If you say nothing in the course of this whole time, but have opened your heart and have come with an open heart, you are contributing something miraculous to the unfolding of this event. Participation can be sometimes most effectively a silent and adoring heart, open to receive news of its own beauty. The prayer that I wrote for us all goes like this. Oh, my friend, heart of my heart, soul of my soul, great torrent of splendor, Jalaluddin, who again and again has washed those who love you clean of their terrors and timidities. Spread your vast wings a blessing over our meeting here and infuse all our hearts, master juggler of opposites, with your wildness and your calm, your certainty and your wonder, your grandeur and your humility, your tenderness and your scathing, outrageous, illusion-killing wit, your passion and your eerie serenity. And with your great hands of passion, stretch us beyond anything we can now imagine. So all of us gathered here come dancing into the great dance of creation and destruction with you, knowing we are both and neither, and amazed and overwhelmed and humbled by the grandeur our beloved has reposed in us. Learn your great secret of pouring ourselves out for him in a lucid rapture of service to all beings everywhere. Amen. Before I read you these poems, I want to tell you a story. Last year, I had the marvelous good fortune of making a film about Rumi in Konya. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. This was a dream beyond anything I could ever imagine. And at the heart of that miraculous dream was a moment when I came to read his poem about dying, standing by his tomb, which was absolutely covered with cloth of gold on which immortal quatrains of his and sacred words of the Quran had been written. And as I read this poem out by that tomb, I suddenly wanted to laugh out loud and start dancing wildly around the room, which would not have been appropriate for BBC TV. Because at the very moment that I was reading the poem that I'm going to read to you tonight, I was feeling from that tomb an overwhelming volcano of passion and joy and ecstasy and bliss and power pouring from it and mocking all attempts to think of this being, Jalaluddin Rumi, as dead. And in that moment, suddenly years of love and striving and work became clear. That what he had achieved is what we are all striving to achieve, the outrageous freedom of knowing ourselves immortal and blessed and free and so totally fearless and so totally able to pour ourselves out in rapture and service to everyone in the name of the immortal beloved that we are one with. And this poem, standing by that tomb, suddenly became not a poem, not even a great poem, not even one of the greatest poems ever written by any human being, but a direct message from the divine self of each one of us to the human self that is still trapped in its fears. And this is the poem. Its title is "My Burial Ground Will Invite You to Dance." This is how crazy Sufis really are. If from my dust wheat springs, and you make bread from this wheat, it will make you drunk. And both dough and baker will become mad, and the oven will sing songs of drunkards. And if you come in pilgrimage to my tomb, my burial ground will invite you to dance. And don't you dare come without a tambourine, because there's no seat for grief at the feast of God. Look at this burial ground and see that death sleeps in it, its jaws bound tightly, because it has fallen down drunk from the opium of the friends. And when you tear off this shroud and match it to your height, you
will discover a wine shop in your own soul, and from all sides will echo and ring an ecstatic tumult of lutes. Doesn't every action necessarily breed its effect? God has created me from the wine of love, and I am that love itself, although death has made me dust. I am drunkenness, and my essence is this mystic wine. Tell me then, what breeds wine if not drunkenness? Around and around and around the tower of the spirit of my beloved Shams of Tabriz, my soul keeps on and on flying without stopping a moment. I felt that volcano of passion and bliss and power pouring from his tomb. But when you have these momentous experiences, there's always a part of you that doubts. You think you're making it up. It's too extreme. It's too amazing. It's too marvelous. It's too good to be true. And so I went back to the carpet shop of a great friend, sat down, feeling rather glum, had a cup of tea, was handed a book that a friend had done on Rumi, opened it at the introduction, and in the introduction was a remark by a Sufi sheikh which went exactly like this, that all those who come to Rumi's tomb will find there a volcano of passion whose impact will be felt until the day of judgment. So that is what you are in for if you take the Sufi path. You're in for ecstasy, joy, certainty, wonder, and slavery to love. And in honor of all of those things, I'd just like to read to you some of the poems of this great slave of love. The wine of divine grace is limitless. All faults come only from the faults of the cup. Moonlight is flooding the whole sky from horizon to horizon. And how much it can fill your room depends on its windows. So grant a great dignity, my friends, to the cup of your life, because love has designed it to hold his eternal wine. How long will you move backwards? Come forward now. Don't stray towards doubt. Come to the real religion of love. In grief, see gentleness. Come towards gentleness. Return at last to the origin of your own origin. Although you may seem to yourselves to be the children of earth, you are really the sons and daughters of the pearls of certainty, the faithful guardians of the treasures of divine light. So return at last to the origin of your own origin. When you have tied yourself to detachment from yourself, know that you will be sprung free of your I and escape that prison with its thousand traps. Return at last to the origin of your own origin. You are of the race of Adam, the caliph of God. But you've lowered your eyes to this sad world and satisfied yourselves with meager scraps. Return at last to the origin of your own origin. And although this world has you still in its thrall, know that in your heart you are a hidden treasure. So open now your inner eyes, the eyes of love. Return at last to the origin of your own origin. If I could wish anything for this meeting of ours, it would be that it helped every single person here to open more widely those inner eyes to the wonder of love, so that in the end they can never close, and that we will be with the great saints, the great mystics, the great madmen and madwomen of love, staring out consciously at the divine world with the divine own eyes.